Hi, welcome to Fantastic Forecast, episode 351. I'm Dave Elliott, as seen on the people of Walmart. Today, Fantastic Four, 351 from April 1991. Strange Interlude by Lynn Kaminsky and Mark Bagley. Yes, Walter Simonson has the month off, so we get a dirty, stinking fill-in issue, which continues the story of Kubik and Cosmos from a backup story in Fantastic Four Annual 23. Yeah, the story we all wanted a sequel to. Cosmos and Kubik are two cosmic beings. Kubik, a male, used to be some kind of cosmic cube, a tesseract, if you will. And Cosmos used to be the Beyonder. Yeah, she used to be the Beyonder. Kubik is a big pink freak, and Cosmos is a yellow chick with a fiery head, like the Frankie Ray Nova. They're looking at Earth, and the planet is about the size of one of their heads. You would think this would create a massive panic on Earth, having these two beings out in space, blocking out the sun or the stars, but I don't think they can see them. Kubik is continuing his lesson in the nature of existence, and his newest lesson is about Earth, and what makes this damn planet so friggin' important. I think it's the fact that it's the only planet in the universe with a variety of environments, different races, multiple governments, and lots of different kinds of cheeses. Cheese. Cosmos suggests that maybe Earth is the current entry point for the nexus of all realities into three-dimensional space. Well, duh, that's pretty obvious. I was thinking the same thing. But Kubik says he suspects otherwise. Kubik wants to talk about four individuals from Earth. The Fantastic Four, of course. He thinks that maybe that cosmic ray storm that gave them their powers was no accident. He thinks it was part of the same cosmic force that gave Kubik and Cosmos their powers. But why? Well, they examine the essences of the members of the Fantastic Four and their dominant character traits. Mr. Fantastic's intellect, Invisible Woman's compassion, the Thing's courage, and the Human Torch's aggressiveness. They proceed to reduce these traits down to that of a normal person in each member of the FF. And hey, let's see what happens. So, Kubik and Cosmos create this big glass ball in space, and they send the four members inside to see how they react without their dominant traits. Subject number one. First, Ben pops up in a maze. He walks around trying to find the others, but he comes across a huge brown creature. Without his courage, Ben is pretty scared. These cosmic beings aren't very smart. I mean, what do they think would happen without his courage? Ben runs away from the creature and hides around a corner at some dead end in the maze. Subject number two, Mr. Fantastic, is stuck in the maze without his brains. Seems kind of lost. He starts running around. Cosmos and Kubik note that increased levels of serotonin and norepinephrine will raise Reed's level of primate dominance behavior. Reed trips some kind of detection device, and these two large cups come out of the wall on either side of him, and they slam together, trapping Reed inside. Reed struggles like a wild animal to break free without any success. Subject number three, the Human Torch appears in the maze, and instead of being aggressive, he just thinks about the situation for a moment. Sees the way out of the maze, a hole that he can fly up to, but he tries to flame on, but they've taken away his powers, so he just leans against the wall, frustrated. Subject number four, the Invisible Woman. She appears in the maze and starts trying to find her way around. Kubik notes that she has an increase in cardiac and respiration levels, and elevated levels of serotonin and dopamine, which helps suppress her fear response. A laser shoots out of the wall and almost hits her. She sends some invisible force bubbles down the maze, but the lasers shoot through the force bubbles. So Sue figures she better stay put, since her force fields won't protect her. Back in space, Cosmos says that she's disappointed in the performance of the Fantastic Four, and says that Kubik should reevaluate the test parameters. Kubik replies, no, he's happy with the test, and it will proceed as such, without adjustments. He says she should not underestimate the Fantastic Four. Back with Ben, he comes across that big, brown, ugly creature again, and this time it has a smaller creature in its arms. Ben figures it's a mother with her little baby. The creature sniffs Ben, but Ben scratches its head in a friendly manner to show he means no harm, and the creature lets Ben walk by. Reed finally uses his stretchy powers to squeeze himself through the cracks in the trap he's been stuck in, and Johnny is sitting on the floor thinking about his situation. He has air, so theoretically, his flames should work. He figures it's all just an illusion. So it's just a question of mind over matter, and he finally flames on, and he flies out of this room he was stuck in. Over with Sue, she figures that she can run through the tunnel using a bunch of small shields, shields that will be blasted apart by the lasers, but by the time the shields are blasted, it will give her the time she needs to run down the tunnel safely, which she does. Soon, Ben emerges from a door and enters this room that must be under some kind of glass dome because they look up and there's stars all around them. Reed, Johnny, and Sue are there, and Johnny says that he suspects they've been kidnapped by nearly omnipotent alien forces for study in some kind of test of character. How the hell anyone would figure that out, I don't know. Especially not Johnny. It's such a specific thing he just said. How would anyone figure that out? Oh yeah, nearly omnipotent beings, a study to test their character. It's so obvious, right? Reed says they should teach these cosmic beings a lesson. Johnny points out that since his sister can make things invisible, she can also make invisible things visible. Really? She can do that? That sounds suspicious. She concentrates hard, and guess who appears? The very large cosmic beings, Cosmos and Cubic, who are impressed that the FF had figured out things. And a gracious Cubic sends the FF home. They will remember nothing, like it was all just a dream. I wish Cubic would work that same magic on me so I could forget this issue. Cubic concludes that even without their main personality traits, each member of the FF were able to rely on other character traits to escape from the situation. Cubic goes on to lament the fact that his and Cosmos' omnipotence limits their ability to develop as individuals. Don't they have little blue pills to help people with their omnipotence? Or is that something else? The issue ends with Cubic saying that he envies the Fantastic Four, and they've learned a lot from this study, and the two cosmic beings disappear. And that ends our fill-in issue. And whoa, I can't imagine two characters I have less interest in than Cosmos and Cubic. In the last FF annual, they had a backup story which was exceedingly boring, and now they have an entire issue, and they've succeeded in being even more boring. At least the art isn't terrible. Mark Bagley has never been one of my favorite artists, but he's a solid artist, and unlike many fill-in issues, it's not an artistic monstrosity. Bagley will even go on to become the regular artist on the Fantastic Four one day, in 2012 and 2013. However, on one of the least successful, least popular runs on the book of all time, a huge flop, getting Fantastic Four Volume 4 canceled after only 16 issues. So that's it for today. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. You can join the Facebook page at Podcast FF. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child.